Mr. Aquilini, Francesco Aquilini, the owner of the Vancouver Canucks. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, guys. How are you?
I'm assuming you didn't take an Uber or a Lyft to get here.
No.
This has been
but you would like to.
I should have, though.
This is like your new personal crusade here to bring ride-sharing, which I am totally on board with. We are kind of prehistoric out here.
I mean, have you been traveling outside of Vancouver at all?
I have tried to grab a cab outside of Rogers Arena, your facility, a few times over the years, which is next to impossible. And, it's when people come to visit, they say, hey, have you we'll call an Uber. It's like, yeah, we don't have that.
I know. The next thing is, it's like saying we don't have Wi-Fi. You know?
it's getting to that point, isn't it?
You know, sorry, we don't have Wi-Fi in Vancouver.
It's funny, though. You know, you've used social media, and you've... When did you make the decision to be more active on it? You've been on it for a while, but really, you've become active, I'd say, last 6 months, 8 months?
Yeah, probably a year. You know, I'm trying to get in with the times. You know, it's social media. I mean, I don't have Instagram or Facebook or anything like that, but, you know, Twitter's great. I mean, I think it's a great way to communicate.
And do you read the messages, the responses back?
Some of them. Some are pretty nasty.
Isn't it? Oh, trust me. Working with this guy, they get nasty. But was it that, did the team say, hey, Francesco, do you want to do it? Or did you just look and see what's going on in the States, right or wrong, and how, hey, there's a way to get out to people?
Yeah. I mean, I was talking to some of the other owners, and they do that. And they thought it was a great way to communicate. And, you know, I thought, well, I think it's time for me to... You know, I had a Twitter account like 3 years ago, but it was never really active. And people were asking me, you know, why don't you tweet more? Why don't you put your ideas out there? And you know, Twitter now. I mean, you know, even if you look at what's happening in the States, I mean, it's incredible. You know, I mean, it's just it's fun. I mean, you know, people it can be interactive. You know, which is interesting.
Well, my philosophy has always been, without the haters, there would be no Twitter, right?
That's right.
It's definitely spirited. Let's look, there's so many things to get into with you over the next little while. And first and foremost, thank you for doing this, by the way. I appreciate it. You know, I know you don't do this a whole often, so thank you for having a little time with us here this morning. I think a lot of people have been wondering over the last few months, Trevor Linden, who is a guy who is... People can envision a day where a statue will be built for this guy in multiple parts of this province. What happened? Why is Trevor no longer with the Vancouver Canucks?
Well, listen, I can understand. As an owner, I can understand, you know, people's interest in this. And, you know, Trevor, you know, I had a great relationship with Trevor. You know, out of respect for Trevor and the current management team, you know, I don't want to get into too many details. You know, Trevor is a big part of, you know, where we're at today, you know, the current, you know, current team that we have. And, you know, I just wish them all the best. And, you know, things evolve and things change. I mean, as you guys know, I mean, you know, it's kind of like being married, you know, I mean, you know, I had
Perry's been married for 24 years. Okay.
Three
years.
We've got both ends of it here. Yeah. But right. I guess you know what was interesting, Francesco, is there's not a lot of things can happen in this city, especially with your hockey team, that comes as a surprise. Mm. And boy, in that late July day, you're just, wow. Yeah. So, and I know you can't get into a lot of detail, but would you have thought, you know, at the draft that he wouldn't be a part of it in September? As you said, things can just happen. But would you have thought that a month or two out or a couple days out before it happened?
Well, you know, it's just over time, you know, I mean, you know, things change. I mean, like we have different businesses, they evolve. You know, Trevor's been, he's been great. I mean, he's been steadfast and, you know, listen, I mean, I really don't want to get into it here. You know, I said what I had to say and, you know, listen, out of respect for Trevor and the current management team, you know, I think, I just want to wish him the best and, you know, and I just want to leave it at that.
Will you replace him? Will there be a change? You know, some have been on our show here saying, you know what, sometimes, you know, it's easier when there's less people to deal with. Will you replace him eventually, or is that kind of a wait-and-see situation as far as a president?
No, I don't think we're going to replace him. Jim Benning's in charge of the hockey operations. And, you know, traditionally, you know, the general manager reports to ownership, you know, and it's kind of, you know, it's me and my brothers and my dad, and, you know, we're pretty tight-knit group. And, you know, and you know, the Canucks are... you know, a big part of our company. And, you know, it's the face, it's basically the interface of, you know, who we are as the Aquilinis. So it's really important that we know what's going on. And so Jim is that guy right now. So Jim is, he's going to be reporting to ownership. So I don't think there's going to be a president.
Francesco, let's talk about this season. What, where are you with the patience level? Everyone's talking about the rebuild. Are you okay with, you know, another year of losing, no playoffs? Nobody likes that. No owner likes that. Right. And but it may happen for another couple of years, two, three.
Yeah.
Where's your patience level? And what is a successful year for you out of your team this year?
Okay, well, yeah, first of all, it's not easy. I mean, you know, look at the standings, it's not easy. But, you know, we've got to be realistic. And, you know, there's no real there's no shortcuts. I mean, there isn't really, you know, you can do what you can try, but there's just no shortcuts. And, you know, what this is about is it's about building a core. And, we got, you know, these young players are coming in, the drafting, getting these young players to kind of come together and you know, wanting to win together like we had in 2011 and 2012. You know, we had a great core. You know, it's ran its course, and now we've got to have a new core.
Sure.
And that's the only way to win. I mean, you can't really win in free agencies. I mean, I talked to a lot of the other owners, and they feel the same way. I mean, it's with the league the way it is today, you know, you can't spend your way out of, you know, out of a big hole.
That's got to be the toughest part, isn't it? Because you are a success not because you wait on the sidelines. You make deals.
Right.
And you inherited a hockey team where if you started adding some pieces, you had a chance of winning it, and we all know how close it was.
Yeah.
But now, and then you try and keep it there.
Yeah.
And now reality is you have to find some patience. Yeah, I mean, has that just been the toughest thing to go?
Oh, yeah. It's hard. I mean, it's not easy. And, you know, we just have to, you know, we just have to work with what we got, you know, and, you know, I think we've got a great, you know, talent pool of young players. You know, I think we were rated number two for prospects from The Athletic. I mean, they rated us number two in terms of having the most prospects, which is, you know, exciting. I mean, that's something we can look forward to. You know, we've got some great young talent. You know, we've got a good coach. So, you know, I think the future's bright. I mean, it's not as bad as it seems. I think that, you know, in terms of success, what success is, I mean all you can really expect is, as a fan, you want the players to work hard every night. You want to leave the building thinking, wow, that was a good game, no matter what the result is. Because, I mean, players have different talent levels. And, you know, when you're playing against players that are, you know, super talented, you know, we don't have those talents. So all you can expect is a hardworking team. We can expect, you know, the development of these young players to come together. And, you know, I'll tell you something, I think it's going to be exciting when we see this core group kind of develop, you know, with, you know, Pedersen and Besser and Horvat, you know, and maybe Gaudet and a couple of these other guys coming in, and, you know, and then Demko. I mean, it's going to be exciting, you know, and they're not there yet, but, you know, Travis is working really hard with them, and, you know, I think it's going to be good. I mean, you know, when you see some of those moves those players make, so like Pedersen the other night, I mean, it was incredible. I mean, it's
you're not excited about him at all, right?
No, just a little bit.
You, Francesco Aquilini in studio with us here this morning on Sportsnet 650. You know, you talk about the patience, and it's hard at times. I would liken it in the sense that if you owned a pizzeria and you're basically going out with a marketing campaign to say, hey, everybody, we're going through a transitional time in our restaurant right now, and the pepperoni and the cheese that we have used that have been a real success, we're not going to have that right now. We're going to sell an inferior product for the next few years while we, you know, but in 5 years from now, we're going to be really good. And that's hard for the fan base to kind of to palate. And like you said, it's hard to be patient.
Yeah.
But have you've been accused of, maybe some have suggested that you've tried to accelerate or jump the gun. Have you suggested at all to management to say, hey, get this done sooner rather than later? Have you tried to do that sort of thing to say, hey, make a play on John Tavares or go kick tires on Erik Karlsson? Have you pushed that at all?
Well, listen, you know, like Jim makes the hockey decisions. I mean, he, you know, he talks to me all the time what he wants to do, and I support him. But, like, I mean, there's no shortcuts. I mean, you know, one or two players at this point is not gonna make a big change. We have to develop a core. I mean, that's the bottom line. And but, you know, listen, if a great player comes along and there's an opportunity that's going to help us, I mean, I'm sure Jim is looking at it. And, you know, but, you know, when it comes to that, unless they're free agents, I mean, you got to start giving up young players. And I don't think we're ready to do that. We're not going to give up on these guys.
Did you make a call about John Tavares at all?
Well, I think Jim, I mean, he got some calls, but, you know, I don't think John would come to a team like ours because, you know, we're not there yet. We're still a couple of years away. So we're just not, I mean, it wouldn't make sense for us to do that. It just wouldn't make sense at this time.
Francesco, you said a couple of minutes ago, you can't spend your way out of this.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at you, and you got a hockey player for the Toronto Marlies making $3 million a year.
Yeah.
And that's coming out of your pocket. You're the owner. This
that's
is a
right.
business.
That's right.
You got a guy named Louis Erickson making $6 million a year, underachieving.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel when that happens?
Well, I mean, you know, the coaches and the management, I mean, they make those decisions, you know. And listen, my job is to support them. My job is to give them the resources, to give them what they need so they can do their job. And, you know, when they made that decision, you know, to put Sam in the minors, you know, when they told me, I wasn't happy about it. I mean, it's $3 million. It's crazy. But, I mean, that's what was necessary.
Is that like a screaming reaction, or is that just
No. Yeah. But Jim has a great demeanor about him. He really calms people down.
What about your reaction? You want $3 million? Yeah. I'm like, where?
Yeah.
That's right.
Toronto?
That's like your kids telling you good news, bad news, right? Yeah. Good news is the kids are ready to play. Bad news is it's putting a $3 million player away.
Yeah. I mean, it's not fun. I mean, definitely... You know, but at the same time, if other players are ahead of him and there's opportunities, you know, you have to go with it and you got to go with the team, you know. And as far as Louis, I mean, listen, you know, Louis's making a lot of money, but, you know, he's really helping the young players. I mean, he's a professional. I mean, he shows up at the rink every day, you know, works out. And, you know, these kids have to learn that, you know, you can't just throw, you know, 20-year-old kids out there against NHL players. I mean, it's not... You know, you have to have some stability. You got to have some sort of experience out there.
And I don't think, Francesco, anyone, and now that you're on social media and we know that's where a lot of negative comment comes, it can ever accuse you or your family of sitting on your wallets because you have done that. And I think even early in this road trip, the fact that Michael Delzato, who is making some money, is a healthy scratch. Probably it comes from the top where you've said, hey, you guys look after the hockey. That can't be great to see a guy like Sam in the minors and a guy like Michael who has a healthy scratch. But I think it sends a message that maybe these kids are ready. You signed Jim to that extension, then things have changed. You know, a lot of people text us, and are you happy with what the GM has done? And is it easier to take because you see what Elias is up to and you go, wow, this could be something special.
Yeah.
It's always a wait and see with the GM. Is that how it is with you? Is the relationship good, and are you pleased with where this team at? As it seems like there's really is that direction now that it's full on rebuild.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, you know, Jim's had a really tough job. I mean, when he came here, there wasn't very many players in the cupboard. I mean, there was probably two, and so you know, he had a lot of older players, and you know, he tried to make deals, but there was no trades, you know, clauses, and so you know, he had to start from scratch again, and. You know, I think he's done a good job. I think for the most part on the drafting, listen, you know, Jim will be judged when, you know, based on how the team performs on the ice, you know, along with Travis. And, you know, that time will tell. And, you know, I mean, some of these young players, I mean, they're really, you know, they're coming along. And we can't expect them to be superstars, to carry the team. You know, there's a reason why there's no captain, you know, because... like nobody's ready yet. Nobody's ready to step up and take it.
Did you have a hand in that discussion at all? Or like, did you talk to Jim or Travis at all about that or just leave it to them?
Yeah. I mean, listen, like those hockey decisions, I mean, Travis is, you know, he lives and breathes this and, you know, I mean, the coach is in terms of the team, he's the pivotal person. I mean, he's the one who's making all those decisions, you know, and we support him. He tells us and he said, okay, let's, you know, he informed us of that. And we thought, okay, if that's what you want. And I agree with that. I think, you know, somebody has to step up and grab it. No, nobody's standing out so far. And so, you know, I think with Jim, I think he's done a good job. You know, I mean, it's one of those things. Time will tell. You know, time will tell. And so far, I mean, we've got a great talent pool. I mean, that's what you can say about that. You know.
Francesco Aquilini in studio with us here on Sportsnet 650. The last couple of years when if I've gone out to a function or having a beer way too late or just, you know, obviously this is a Canucks town first and foremost. Mm. This is a Canucks province.
Yeah.
But there's been some whispers in the last couple of years while you've been the owner that Yeah, apparently the Aquilinis might be interested in selling the team. Are the Canucks for sale?
No, I don't know where that came from, but the team's not for sale. I mean, this is a family business, family asset. It's our pride, and, you know, we're part of the community here. I grew up here. I grew up two blocks away from the Coliseum. I've always been a fan, so we have no intentions of selling it.
What about acquiring more things? I mean, you've got the Warriors coming in. You've mm-hmm. got Overwatch coming. Mm-hmm. I've heard your names mentioned at the same place James is out having beers, although I'm done much earlier than him. he's out there later. With regards to the BC Lions, or even, mm-hmm. for that matter, the Vancouver Whitecaps, any curiosity for the family to acquire and just become the all-in Vancouver sports power?
You know, like it's something that we've discussed, and it's nothing that we're really, you know, interested in right now. But Lions and the Caps, Whitecaps, we're just, it's not something we want to do right now.
You still talk to David Brailey?
I still talk to him once in a while. Yeah. Yeah. He's, you know, I mean, the Lions, you know, I think.
Because they're out there, right? I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I mean, at this time, we're just not interested. It doesn't make sense for us to do this, you know. I like the BC Lions. I played football when I was in high school, so.
What'd you play?
What position?
I was a linebacker.
You like to
really?
Hit people.
Yeah.
This is why you're the boss, right?
That's right.
So, and we always, you know, we sit here and talk about Elias Pettersson and compare Francesco Aquilini as a linebacker. Who were you as far as a pro linebacker? Were you a Lawrence Taylor? Were you a Glenn Jackson? this is your chance to pump your own tires. Oh, Perry, you should have seen me.
Well, I mean, I played when the Pittsburgh Steelers won the 4 Super Bowls. I like to think of myself as Jack Lambert.
You were? That's not bad.
That's tough.
That's not a tall bad. Order.
Yeah. Where'd you play?
I played at Templeton.
At Templeton, okay.
In high school, yeah.
Yeah. Did you guys have a team at all at that time?
Like, yeah,
you guys...
it was a good team. Yeah, yeah, it was a good team, yeah.
No high school championship or anything like that?
No, we came close a couple of times. Came close. But, you know, back in the 70s, late 70s, it was football. High school football was really... it was really big. We played against Notre Dame, which they had a really good team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, no, we had a pretty good team. We I think we came one or two games, you know, so.
You still got a lot of high school buddies that kick around that you hang out with?
Oh, yeah, for sure. We go to a couple of games every year, take them to the suite. You know, there's about 10 of us. Lots of guys from East Van, for sure.
Freeloading. I freeload all the time.
Yeah.
Francesco, yeah. Is it tough sometimes being an owner in a Canadian market? If you're the owner of the Florida Panthers or the LA Kings, you can walk around. You're not dealing with this.
Mm-hmm.
Everyday scrutiny, everyday rumors. It's a Canadian market. It's tough. It's tough on the players. Look at Jake Virtanen. Hey,
yeah.
Don't tell me it's not tough for him playing in his hometown, being drafted that high and not being in the top six right now. That's tough. But is it tough being an owner in a Canadian market?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, fans are very passionate here. It's a double-edged sword. I mean, that's what you want. You want fans to be passionate. They care about the game. They're emotional. They all have an opinion. You know, it's hard because you want to succeed and you want to bring a Stanley Cup to the province, you know, since I grew up here. And, it's not easy.
Is it harder than you thought being the owner of the Vancouver Canucks? Because, like, look. You look at this team in a rebuild right now. You've seen the highs of this team getting to the Cup final.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's also, like, a lot of negativity that surrounds the team. And from an energy standpoint, it's just whatever it may be. There's, you know, and especially when you're not winning, that all mm-hmm. multiplies.
Mm-hmm.
But here you are, like, there's probably no bigger fan of the Vancouver Canucks than you.
Yeah.
Based on finances, right?
Yeah.
Like, you've invested more with this team than anybody else. No matter how passionate you might be thinking you were stuck on Highway 1 right now listening to this conversation. But yet, you kind of get it too, right? Like, you know, well, you know, he's part of the problem. Like, is it harder than you realize being an owner of a team that, like you said, you loved as a kid?
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, so as an owner, I mean, all we can do is provide the resources. So, you know, I tell Jim he could spend to the cap every year, you know, if he feels he needs to, if he can find appropriate players that make sense, you know. So, I mean, that's all we can do and support him. And, you know, is it hard? Absolutely. But at the same time, you have to be realistic. I mean, you can't stay at the top all the time. I mean, look at the Oakland Raiders, you know, I mean, look at the Detroit Red Wings. I mean, It's sports is a cycle, right? I mean, mm-hmm. it's a cycle, and the Red Wings did it for a long time, and you know now we were good for what, a good 10 years, I think, 10 years, 50. I mean, that's a long run, and you know and now we're dealing with, you know, rebuilding again and getting these young players to develop a core. So, you know, is it hard? Absolutely, but it's necessary, and there's no shortcuts, and you've got to go. There's a process. It's just, it's all about the process, and you know, it's just one step at a time.
There was you have a former employee who was making the rounds, the media rounds the other day, who suggested that you may have blocked some trades on occasion. Mm-hmm. Have you done that much?
No, that's absolutely not true.
You haven't blocked trades?
No, absolutely not true. I mean, general managers do what they want to do, right? And you know, I mean, the thing is, yeah, I guess, you know, when you're losing, people point to fingers and they blame people, but. You know, I've never blocked a trade, ever.
Because there was a suggestion that Dan Hamhuis, there was a deal in place to go to Dallas, yeah. And no yeah. blocking.
Yeah, but I thought that was already dealt with. I mean, yeah. Jim and Trevor already went out to the media and said that wasn't true.
Yeah.
But, you know, people like to make that up. It's all crap.
One, we said we'd mentioned this earlier, and as I look at you, one poor signing your club made is that kid in green. You signed Kellen Tochkin there, our board operator, back, I think, in what, 2011?
Kellen, what year were
yeah,
you?
Yeah, Travis cut him. He was the pride of Abbotsford.
Francesco, your job to know
yeah,
that.
You shouldn't
that's
have signed
a Canuck
him.
Draft. You that, yeah, that's you, a Canuck signing.
Well, that one got by the team,
well,
Francesco.
Manager, somebody's head rolled, I believe, for that one.
Well, yeah, and I don't know. Yeah, he'll be cut from us shortly, too, because yeah. he just hasn't worked out. Yeah. Are you excited the fact that we deal with it always with the lines and everything, that there's no geographical rival? It seems that it'll be rubber stamped in December. Mm. How much does it mean to you to get Seattle into the NHL?
I think it's great. I think I really supported it. I think it's going to be good for, you know, having another team in our division, you know, the travel, the rivalry. You know, I think Seattle's a good hockey market. You know, our fans and our market really stops at the border. I mean, we might have a few fans in Bellingham, but, you know, Seattle is kind of an untapped market. So I think it's good for the league. You know, I'd rather see a team go there than the Southeast or something like that.
But you guys really don't have, and we have this question, who are the Vancouver Canucks' major rival?
Yeah.
And there's not really that answer. There's the history with Chicago, and there's Calgary. But now, you know, in 4 or 5 years, maybe that answer is right down the I-5.
Yeah. Kind of like an Anaheim, L.A., you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be something like that, yeah.
Francesco Aquilini with us here in studio on Sportsnet 650. Can you hang out for a couple more minutes?
Sure.
Are you cool with that? Because I'd love to bend your ear about the NBA, the Sedins and their future. A lot of people wondering, like, what are you going to do about that? So come.
I think we can keep. Can we keep going?
Yeah.
I think they said
go till 8:30.
Okay.
Yeah, we can go a little longer. Want to get into what? Can we just talk a little bit and change the subject? Just because we're all going to learn here. I know Adrian's behind you.
Right.
I don't even know what Overwatch was and what the whole thing was about. Do you? Other than it sounds like a pretty smart business move to bring video games and Dota, how your building was absolutely full.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, Dota was here in late August, and, I mean, it was just such a huge success. I mean, it was incredible. I don't know if you guys have went to the arena and watched it.
I didn't have $250 to buy a ticket for the champion. Like, $250 a ticket, and you guys sold it out. It
sold out. I mean, there was a waiting list. I mean, it was crazy.
So you went in there, and were you shocked to see what?
Yeah, I was shocked. You know, we started looking at it before the Dota, and, you know, it's basically, you know, kids watching other kids play video games. I mean, that's what this is. And, I mean, the market, it's a world market. I mean, it's just, you know, it's so big that people don't understand it. And so what really pushed it was the, you know, the third generations of the Aquilinis, like my nephews, you know, they're saying, we got to get into esports, and they're explaining it to me. And I, you know, try to understand it. And, you know, I'm not really there yet, but I've got the gist of it.
You're more of a Frogger or a Donkey Kong guy, right?
That's right.
Frogger.
Space Invader, Pac-Man.
That's right.
Yeah.
So they, you know, they really pushed it, and the opportunity came up with an Overwatch team. We had discussions with them to, you know, give us the business plan, how it works, and the market, and it's basically like a sports team. You hire players, you hire a manager, hire a coach, they travel around, they play in different buildings. So, you know, we just thought it's, you know, it could be the future. I mean, I think
there'll be a home schedule. Like, you will release a schedule of games.
Yeah. And so, I mean, the thing with esports, I mean, you know, if you look at traditional sports like hockey, football, baseball, you know, only a certain amount of people can play because of the physical abilities. But in esports, anybody can play. You know, they just need two fingers. And so,
will you be a cap spending team with Overwatch?
I think so. I think the cap's like $250,000 or something.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Or no, $100,000 per player.
Okay.
I think it was six players or something. I can't remember, but
it's a little easier too.
Yeah.
No
yeah.
trades. Yeah. You set up some no trade clauses for some of these kids.
Yeah. Send the guy to a pool hall. You're sending with them. He's going to the pool hall. We're not
scouting
the
part
of the big team.
And they're like all 19 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. You only play between 19 and 22. When they're 22, they're done. They can't play.
which so right. Tell me, this boggles my mind because Francesco Aquilini in studio with us here on Sportsnet 650. But
great, thanks.
Here you are investing millions of dollars in a video game and a team that is going to be a global brand. Mm. And yet, video games are a discussion with your hockey team right now where it's like, you can't play video games. It's like, how are you going to make the next Bo Jackson? Mm. Like, Elias Pettersson could be that crossover hockey player and Overwatch star.
That's good marketing.
But how, it's funny how that the one discussion in one wing of the business, it's like video games, that's bad. Mm-hmm. But over here, it's like, hey, come hang out with us because we're going to pack the stadium because this is the future here. I mean, is it a little bit of old school thinking in some respects?
Well, I think what, you know, when you talk about the team, the Canucks and the, you know, the players, young guys, I think they're just trying to limit it. I don't think they're going to avoid it. I don't think they're going to stop playing, but they're just... They just talked about team, but when they're on the road, they want to want to do some team building exercise. You can't stay in your hotel room and play, video games for 8 hours. I think that was the purpose of that, because they're on the road and they got they're after practice, there's not really much to do. So, but I still think that they're gonna love it. I mean, Brock plays video games and Pettersson, they all play it. But listen.
Hey, I play. I'm ready to. I just got my NHL 19 that I am ready to turn off the rest of the world right now and just dial into hockey. So, I get it.
Like the millennials, kids that are like, between 15 and 22. I mean, it's a whole another world, and video games is something they gravitated to. And the Dota games, the purse was $25 million. So that's, I think, six guys split $25 million. So four guys made like $5, $6 million. And, that's crazy. I mean, that's insane. That's how big this thing is. It was like 60 million viewers watching it on Twitch online, So
say 60, it's a world 60
market.
Million?
Yeah, 60 million. It's a world market. I mean, that's what this is. It's a world market.
Sounds like smart business.
Yeah, so we decided to jump into it and... Adrian, who's kind of running it, is the one who championed it, and with the younger generation of the Aquilinis and my nephew Dax, so it's something we decided that makes sense,
Francesco, two quick ones. Utica last year, a lot of your fans want an American League team in Abbotsford, UBC Pacific Coliseum, so that one, and then the Sedin Twins. Anything? Are you lining up their big night yet? Are you working on that?
For the Sedins, so what we're thinking is we're probably going to retire the Sedins jerseys next year in their 50th anniversary. So they're talking to the league now, setting the game up. And, Henrik and Daniel, big part of this community. I mean, they've given back so much. I mean, they're just iconic players and iconic people. They're just amazing. And so, we're gonna really do something special for them. And it's not going to just be one night. It could be like a week-long festivities. So, we're really excited about that. They're starting to plan. And, I talked to Henrik, and so they're excited about that as well. And, they live here now, so they're part of the community. And we're just so fortunate to have, two superstars, two, future Hall of Famers in our city. It's just fantastic. And, we have to treat them as such. So our guys are doing, they're working hard, and we're going to do something really special, really exciting in our 50th.
Utica, Abbotsford. Yeah. What's going on?
Abbotsford.
Come on, put the team in Abbotsford.
Yeah. He takes a swig of water here. It's like they got the highlights on him all of a sudden.
The Calgary Flames were there, Francesco.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of debate around that. I mean, there's a lot of pros and cons. Utica, it's a good hockey town. I mean, the building sells out every night. The guys, they really feel like they're in a sports town.
But it's far.
It's far, and you know they travel. You know they go by bus. You know they go by bus. So there's a lot of practice time. You know and then the other side, if they play on the Pacific Coast League, you know there's more travel, right? Because they're kind of isolated, mm-hmm. And you know in Abbotsford, I know there was a lot of complaints because of the travel. You know because you know basically every second week they'd have to travel because. And, you know, there were quite distances. The costs are higher and, you know, ticket prices are not, you know, not very high. So it was the financial reasons. So, I mean, that's something that's we're looking at all the time. You know, different markets. You know, the Pacific Coliseum is an option. You know, Abbotsford is an option. So, I mean, right now we're still in the contract for another 2 years.
Oh, 2 years? Okay.
Yeah, 2 years. Or I think it's 3 years. Is it 2 years or 3 years?
One and three.
So, you know, our guys are still evaluating that. Jeff and Adrian are still evaluating that and seeing, you know, what makes the most sense, you know.
This is a town, and it's funny, we get into Dota and you talk about the age group of those people and where they are. You grew up here. We grew up around the sport. We watched it so much. But there are different competitors as far as attention is concerned. The one thing about Las Vegas and their run is you just saw that show, which was so incredible, before they would drop the puck. Yeah. How much is it? I know you've done a lot of stuff to make sure there's an entertainment package other than what we see on the ice to make walking into your arena something special. Is that like an ongoing thing that not only your team but everybody in the NHL is going, we've got to make this product more accessible and the whole night more entertaining?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we're in the experience business. When people walk in the door, and by the time they leave the building, they have to have a great experience. And you know, with the hockey, I mean, we can't control the results; they are what they are. But in terms of the food, the music, you know, the staff, you know, our goal is to provide like a first class experience. And you know, a few years ago, you know, we the food and beverage was done by Aramark. We took it back in house. And, you know, the level of service and the quality of food's gone up tremendously. I get a lot of comments. People love the food in the building now. They think it's a gourmet meal. And you know, the staff, the service is first rate. So, and then we have the sports bar. And, you know, now the sports bar has been great. So, no, it's that's what this is about. People want to be entertained. People want to have fun. They want to see a good hockey game. They want to eat some good food. They want to be with their friends. It's a night out. I mean, people invest a lot of money into this, and so our job is to provide the best experience that we can deliver.
Francesco Aquilini with us here in studio. Hey, 2 weeks ago, the NBA was here for their what it seems like an annual appearance now, and the Raptors, they've sold out all four consecutive preseason games that they had, most recently with Portland. Mm-hmm. Have you talked to the NBA at all? Have you kicked tires, explored the opportunity of the NBA coming back? I would love to see it back here, and if it was given a legitimate fighting chance to compete compared to what it was in the 90s and early 2000s, have you talked about the NBA at all?
Yeah, you know, there's been some discussions on that. I mean, it's obvious because we have a building, it's a plug and play. We still even have the hoops, we still even have the floor, everything's there, the locker room, everything's there. We've discussed it, I think. You know, right now the entry cost is like prohibitive because it's up to $2 billion now.
So it went from an expansion or to purchase?
Both.
Yeah.
I think now a team is $2 billion.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, 5 years ago it was like $300 million, $350 million.
That's not pocket change for you, sir.
Pocket change. Yeah.
In the sofa.
My name was Steve Ballmer.
Yeah. Well, James is spending your money. You did something a little more reasonable. I helped you guys out with the launch of the National Lacrosse League and the Warriors, a league I follow quite a bit. I know you guys did a lot of work with Calgary, where their slogan is, you know, come for the party, stay for the game.
Yeah.
What do you like about lacrosse, and what do you think you guys will be able to do different that didn't make it work the first time in Vancouver, then struggling crowds in Langley, now to bring them into your fold and into your arena? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think what lacrosse is, it's they play every Friday and Saturday, so it's going to be a big party. I mean, that's what we're going to be doing. I think that's what was missing before, and people come and, you know, they're going to come to a game, and it's going to be before they go out, it's going to be a younger crowd. It's going to be lots of entertainment. It's going to be really fun to be there. Lots of great music. We're going to have DJs. it's going to be like a party. That's what it really is.
So just really the power of your brand, yeah, and push it into lacrosse will be what you hope gets it together and give them the essentials that you have at the arena, food, beer, and all that. Do you change ticket prices, food prices? How will that work? Or do you
know? So there'll be adjustments on that. And, you know, we've got an incredible group, right? A marketing group and promotions group. And so, you know, the Canucks do deliver a great show. And so I think people will come out and see it to see what it's like.
Because you see splinter fan groups that are now trying to almost take a section now, right? The Larshiders are out there trying to get in there. Like, is that something you try to reach out and try to, hey, like somebody's trying to make it an event. Someone's trying to make it fun inside the building again.
That's right. That's the goal. And with the Larshiders, that's a group that was, I think Jeff started that. And, you know, they come every so often. And it's fun. I mean, it's fun to see those guys.
You like seeing that?
I love it. Yeah. I love it. I think it's great. Yeah.
Who's your favorite Canuck?
My favorite Canuck?
Yeah, whether as the guy you're signing his check or when you were just a fan.
It's probably easier when he didn't have to pay a guy, I would think.
Wasn't it? Yeah. Well, I'm in the current roster. It's kind of like asking me what's my favorite kid.
Yeah, you can't do that. Yeah.
But all time, favorite Canuck.
My favorite Canuck, Pavel Bure.
Pavel.
Yeah, Pavel. I think Pavel was really exciting. He was, he was an iconic player. I mean, he was amazing. You know, he was, when he stepped on the ice, like something always happened. You know,
how do you get him more involved with the team? Have you tried?
Yeah, I've tried. I mean, he lives in Moscow now, and you know, there's a distance, and
you thought Utica was far. I mean, Moscow is like,
make him a scout. Yeah. Make him a scout. You don't have enough Russian players in the lineup right now, other than Godolbin. Come on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think he wants to do that. You know, he's got a lot going on in Moscow now. He's doing a lot of business there, and so he's got his own life, and he's got two kids, and he doesn't want to do that.
Who are other guys that you liked?
Other players?
Yeah, other guys that you were a fan of growing up.
Like Trevor, I was a big fan of Trevor. Yeah. The Sedins, of course. You know, all the main guys. I mean, Henrik and Daniel were amazing. I was a big fan of Roberto Luongo, you know.
What's your favorite Canucks moment?
Yeah, it was when we scored the overtime goal against Chicago in the seventh game. That had to be the epitome. It was so climatic, you know.
Do you we get chastised about it here all the time because apparently we've read somewhere the Leafs are good this year.
Yeah.
What's that do to a Vancouver-based owner?
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean it's not easy because, you know, when they come in and the Leafs and the Canadians come in and the cheers are pretty loud, you know, and so we just got to win the games. We just got to keep the goals down and win the games, you know.
I saw a T-shirt at the airport that said Vancouver against everybody, and that's kind of – sometimes that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Francesco, last one. Gino Ogic, how's his health?
Yeah, I haven't spoken to him in a while, but I heard he's doing better. And, Gino's a great guy, and, you know, I wish him all the best, and I hope he gets better soon. And looks like he's getting better. Looks like it.
Good. Yeah, something about a month ago.
So thank you for doing this.
All right. No,
thanks
my pleasure.
Yeah, thanks,
awesome.
Francesco. Don't, like, do this again. Don't just stick to Twitter. Come. You've got an open invitation if you ever
want.
When's
your restaurant open? You got the restaurant open?
Yeah, so we have a restaurant opening. November 3rd is our opening at Lisa. It's after my mother's name. And it's a steakhouse. It's amazing. I think it's going to be the best steakhouse in Vancouver. Great food, great ambiance. It's kind of like Blue Water. So we own Blue Water across the street.
And you're just name dropping now.
Yeah,
here,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Can I do the plug?
Can you put our name on it? and they have all three of our names on the guest list as to not let them in.
I haven't seen my email. I haven't seen that invitation make my way.
Yeah, it's not coming either.
Probably not. So you got Blue Water. So it's going to be similar to something along those lines.
But on the steak side. So there'll be like grass fed beef. There'll be about 10, 12 different types of steaks from across the world you can buy. Mm-hmm. Made and prepared in a different way. And so if you like steak, this is going to be the place.
That's your house.
Well, I appreciate this, taking the time with your security detail here in the background as well. The muscle,
who you know. Adrian. So we should make clear to everybody,
Adrian Montgomery, who is, he's the alternate governor?
Yeah, he's alternate governor, yes.
And video game, he was a Frogger champion, I believe, in Ottawa many moons ago. Francesco Aquilini, the owner of the Vancouver Canucks, taking the time with us here this morning. Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome.